news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
With Attorney General Barr by his side, Trump announced Wednesday that his administration is expanding a crackdown on violent crime by sending hundreds of federal agents to the Democratic-run cities of Chicago and Albuquerque. Barr said the Operation Legend program, which launched in Kansas City, Missouri, was different from the use of federal agents, quote, against riots and mob violence, and that these agents would help local police solve murders and take down violent gangs. Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, showed up on the 56th night of protests in his city Wednesday night. He was immediately jeered and taunted by the protesters. The heckling briefly stopped when he shouted, "Black Lives Matter," and pumped his fist in the air. Wheeler, who vehemently opposes the presence of federal agents in his city, has faced criticism from both sides of the protests after failing to rein in city police, who have also attacked the demonstrators. Later in the night, Wheeler was among the protesters standing at a fence guarding a federal courthouse who were tear-gassed by these federal thugs sent by Trump. Wheeler said it was the first time he'd ever been tear-gassed. Quote, "I'm not going to lie. It stings. It's hard to breathe. And I can tell you with 100% honesty, I saw nothing that provoked this response. I'm not afraid, but I am pissed off. This is an egregious overreaction on the part of the federal officers. This is flat-out urban warfare. And it's being brought on the people of this country by the President of the United States." Moving on, California reported Wednesday that its tally of confirmed coronavirus cases reached 409,000, surpassing New York as the state with the most total infections. This as outbreaks continue to spike, mostly in the West and South. The United States reported more than 1,100 new coronavirus deaths on Wednesday, the first time since May 29th that the nationwide total reached that high. Texas reported the most new deaths, with 197 people dying from the disease. Fatalities have been rising since June, which public health officials had warned would happen within weeks of a spike in new cases. Governors in Ohio, Indiana, and Minnesota on Wednesday joined a growing number of states requiring face coverings to reduce the infection risk. More than 30 states now have mask mandates. Dr. Deborah Birx, in a private phone call on Wednesday with some state and local leaders, said that 11 major cities are seeing increases in the percentage of positive tests and should take aggressive steps to mitigate their outbreaks. The cities? Baltimore, Cleveland, Columbus, Indianapolis, Las Vegas, Miami, Minneapolis, Nashville, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. This call was another private warning about the seriousness of the outbreaks given to local officials, but not released publicly. This coming less than a week after the Center for Public Integrity revealed that the White House had compiled a detailed report showing 18 states were in the red zone for coronavirus cases, again, never publicly released. In Congress, Senate Republicans continued Wednesday to work on their proposal for the next COVID-19 relief bill, with some pushing an unemployment benefits extension. Of course, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the bill would not extend the bonus. And then there are those Republican senators who are pushing to reduce it from $600 to $100 a week. Democrats want to extend the $600 a week benefit through the end of the year and included it in their $3.5 trillion HEROES Act that the House passed back in May and the Senate has not addressed. Well, a bipartisan effort to make Juneteenth a federal holiday failed in the Senate on Wednesday after Ron Johnson of Wisconsin blocked it from advancing. Johnson said that while he supported honoring the day that has come to mark slavery's end in the U.S., doing so with a new holiday would, quote, give federal workers a paid day off that the rest of America has to pay for. And to Wisconsinites, I say, you replaced Russ Feingold with that? For shame. But in a bipartisan 305 to 113 vote, with 72 Republicans joining all the Democrats on Wednesday, the House voted to remove Confederate statues from the Capitol. The bill would remove the bust of Supreme Court Justice Roger B. Taney, who authored the Dred Scott decision, and would require states to reclaim and replace their Confederate statues in the Capitol. Currently, each state is allowed to send two statues to the National Statuary Hall. Of course, Mitch McConnell is unlikely to bring the bill up for the vote, saying that he favors leaving the selection of which statues to display to the states. And for the second day in a row, Donald Trump delivered a campaign speech disguised as a coronavirus task force update from the White House briefing room, though he again appeared without a single task force member, medical expert, or anyone with half a brain. Among other lies, Trump claimed that kids aren't really carriers of the coronavirus.
They don't transmit very easily, and a lot of people are saying they don't transmit, and we're looking at that. We're studying, John, very hard, that particular subject, that they don't bring it home with them. Now, they don't catch it easily, they don't bring it home easily, and if they do catch it, they get better fast. We're looking at that fact. That is a factor, and we're looking at that very strongly. We'll be reporting about that over the next week.
Yeah? Tell that to the parent of the 9-year-old Florida girl who the Miami Herald reports is the youngest coronavirus victim yet. She's the fifth minor killed by Florida's COVID-19 surge that Governor Ron DeSantis has called a, quote, blip. The others were two 11-year-olds, a 16 and a 17-year-old. And finally, in an interview that aired on Fox so-called News Wednesday night, Trump once again bragged about passing a cognitive test, then went into detail about how he amazed his doctors by remembering five words in order.
I said to the doctor, it was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, I said, is there some kind of a test, an acuity test? And he said, there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be. And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. So they say, could you repeat that? So I said, yeah. So it's person, woman, man, camera, TV. Okay, that's very good. If you get it in order, you get extra points. Okay, now he's asking you other questions, and then 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, they say, remember the first question? Not the first, but the 10th question? Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. If you get it in order, you get extra points.
Experts say the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test is supposed to be easy, is not a measure of intelligence, but rather a way to look for signs of cognitive impairment.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
I couldn't make this up if I tried. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.